I want to take a moment to tell you about Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee believes that every cup of coffee you make should be your best ever, no matter how you take your coffee. Launched in 2018, Trade Coffee unites the nation's top roasters, including some in Nashville, directly with drinkers, offering 400 plus roasted to order coffees so fresh they don't exist until you say so. This company has really opened my eyes to everything coffee can be, and in the process, turning me, who was a regular coffee drinker, into a coffee lover. Listen to these coffee subscription perks. Access a handpicked selection of 400 plus coffees roasted around the country and personalized just for you. Automatically receive discounted pricing on curated coffees plus free shipping always. Adjust your coffee, update order frequency, go from hot to cold, or switch to decaf. Pause or cancel at any time. Lastly, sit back and enjoy. Their coffee is roasted to order and delivered at peak freshness direct to your home. So, are you ready to unlock your coffee rotation? I want to share a special offer with my listeners. If you sign up for a coffee subscription as a new customer, you will get your first bag of coffee for free. Yes, free. All you need to do to get started is go to 99%localpod.com/coffee.
Welcome to the 99% Loco Podcast.
Hey there, podcast family. It has been quite a while, but I am glad to be back after a much needed break, whether I wanted it or not. I really can't believe it's 2022 already, in February to be exact. All I have to say is upward and onward. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode brings us to episode number 58 of the podcast. And let's see if I remember how to do this. If you're new to the podcast or have been a longtime listener, let me remind you what this podcast is about. Each episode, me, your host, Chris Green, is bringing stories of Nashville and Middle Tennessee-based entrepreneurs, authors, musicians, artisans, and other creators. Everybody has a story, their own unique upbringing, and a passion for why they're doing what they're doing. I personally love the sense of community around Nashville and get my kicks from sharing these stories. This week, I'm joined by Austin and Colin. Austin and Colin are a comedy duo comprised of funny guys Austin Beaver and Colin Cooper. The pair co-own Mac and Cheese Media along with their friend and CEO Sean Webster. Due to the success of their 2016 music video, Welcome to Nashville, the longtime friends continue their active comedy partnership. Austin and Colin primarily focus on viral internet content with many popular songs, music videos, skits, and advertisements in their catalog. The duo have partnered with many notable brands and people over the years, including PepsiCo, Wayfair, Jake Owen, and several popular Nashville-based businesses and restaurants. With that, let's get right into this. Here's my conversation with Austin and Colin from Mac and Cheese Media. You guys, it's an honor to get you on here. Thanks to Sean for hooking this up. I'm looking forward to chatting with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, we're always open to chatting with people about whatever.
Well, let's get this kicked off. Austin, Colin, like I said earlier, it's an honor to have you guys on. You guys known as the Nashville Funny Guys. You guys have last names, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
My name is Colin Cooper.
And mine's
C-O-L-I-N-C-O-O-P-E-R.
And mine's Austin Beaver, B-E-V-E-R, no A.
V as in very.
V as in Victor.
Colin. Yeah, Victor's better, yeah.
We call ourselves the Nashville Funny Guys, but that's because we didn't call ourselves that. One time a news article said, the Nashville Funny Guys are back, and it's like, all right, well, I guess we'll just run with that. Nobody knows what to do with us. I mean, we're not just straight up comedians. You know, so people just come up with different names. I think the best one we've found is that we are a comedic duo, probably. But I mean, who knows? You call us what you want. We don't care.
How'd you guys decide on whose name went first in the Austin and Colin thing? Was there a lot that went into that?
That's a good point.
Selfish, I think.
I was very sad to be, you know, at the tail end of Austin and Colin, but you know, I'm just kidding. I think it works alphabetically because, that's, you know, ABC, I think it flows off the tongue a little bit better.
I think that was what happened. I think I justified the alphabet and said, Colin, I think I should go first because I'm A, and it just makes more sense. But I actually, I don't remember that actual moment.
Yeah, what about Rhett and Link? I mean, they're backwards, so.
Colin and Austin. Austin and Colin. See, it just rolls off the tip of the tongue a little better.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Well, let's do this. I'm going to run through a little bit of your resume so the listeners who don't know who you guys are will know who you are. And then we can dig into, you know, I want to find out how you guys started and then talk about what you're doing today. So, you know, you guys are filmmakers, content creators, influencers. You've done music videos. You host events. I know you guys are doing podcasting yourself. You're also the co-founders of Mac and Cheese Media, which is a media production company who you guys run along with Sean, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
And I have a feeling maybe Sean's the one that keeps you guys in line. Is that the case?
Yeah.
A little bit.
So.
Sometimes we don't have anybody to slap us or put us in line. We kind of start to spill out and kind of waste our time.
I knew that if we connected with Sean, we would have at least some guardrails to bump, you know, off of as we were going on wild creative journeys. So
yeah, because back in the day, me and Austin used to just take a month off to do a comedy show or something like that.
Yeah,
completely ignore the business side of things we were doing. So
I don't know what you do for work besides this, but like balancing the creative hat and the business hat is a really difficult one. Sean's extremely creative himself, but he is a little bit more on the business savvy side, so he's able to at least enter that zone and help keep us on track so that when we do get creative, it actually is beneficial and isn't detrimental to the business.
There you go. I figured that was the case. All right, guys. So I think most people would say, and maybe you guys do, that your careers really launched with your Welcome to Nashville video in 2016. It's got, I don't know how many views, but I mean, it went viral, captured the hearts of a lot of locals and transplants. And I think it brought up a lot of hate too, actually. And how's it feel to single-handedly be responsible for Nashville exploding the last couple of years?
Oh, man, it's been an honor. Yeah.
I think, you know, I wish we could take credit for all of Nashville's, you know, growth. And honestly, though, if we were the reason for that, I would be finding ways that we should be making money off of that. But, you know, it actually started before, you know, we put that out, you know, because we went to college here and it kind of almost started synonymously. It felt like when I was in college about 2009, it just started hitting that bell curve, right? You know, and just kind of started going nuts. And I think we just sat there and looked at all of these things that were changing. And it was just like, some things were amazing and other things were just like super like frustrating. And you'd talk about them around your coffee table or with your friends. I don't even have a coffee table, but you know, we were just like, we have to say how we feel about this. And originally, you know, Colin and I were in high school and we're in a band. I'm sure you have a question about that, but we just knew how to do this in musical format. And so we said, let's give it a shot. And we didn't know what would happen, but I think it far exceeded our expectations.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll dig into that a little bit more. I'm curious what kind of music you guys played, but so I originally saw, so you did a follow-up, you did part two in 2017, Welcome to Nashville part two. Right. And I actually saw both of those videos before we even moved here. So I might say that you guys kind of influenced that move a little bit, but and I don't know, maybe persuaded me to not move in some ways, but
that's actually so, it's funny because a lot of times we get comments on Facebook that say, I was really excited about moving to Nashville, but after hearing some of the things in these songs, I'm not so sure that I want to move to Nashville.
However, you also get people who like, I think, you know, and this is an interesting story. You haven't got to number three yet, but this, you know, we were kind of on the fence about doing a third one, but we had been asked, you know, by different people in different times. And this, we were shooting something in Franklin, and this guy was trying to pull his car out, and we were filming in the driveway. And I said, "Oh, hey, sorry, we'll move. Apologies." And he's like, "Oh, no worries. I love your guys' videos. Hey, You guys have to do a Welcome to Nashville 3. I send that to everybody I know that's coming here, and I don't have an updated version. And I was just like, all right, fine. If this guy in Franklin wants the video, we'll freaking do a video. Yeah.
And it kind of felt like the right time because we like to space these out a little bit, you know, because every couple of years, Nashville kind of has like a massive amount of growth that happens. And we just felt like it was the right time. And I guess, you know, Welcome to Nashville 4 potential will come maybe a decade or more, and there will be a lot more change. But we like to think of them as kind of a snapshot of where Nashville is at that time. And, you know, even in 2017 from 2016, there was still a lot of change. So we were like, we can still write an entirely new song about the city, and it can still be like new and refreshing.
Yeah, I hadn't watched the first two in a couple of years. I went back, watched them. Obviously, the third one came out last October. We'll talk about that in a second. But it's just so cool to see how fast Nashville's grown as your videos progress. You know, and on that note, you know, in Nashville Part 3, Welcome to Nashville Part 3, you guys went all out for that. You had a big launch party. And tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I guess one thing I'll say about, you know, what we do is, you know, Colin and I have been doing this for a long time, and you know, we've got this video business that we're running, you know, which is, you know, kind of trying to support our livelihood, but we also have this passion to just, you know, be creative and create these things that make us smile and make other people smile. And so Welcome to Nashville 3 was one that we had to wait until we really had the full creative like energy to do it, because these things are massive. And if you notice with our videos, we always want our next video to be better than our last video, whether that means the production quality, whether that means the musical, you know, production or whatever it may be, we always want to be bigger and better. And in order to do that, it does take your full attention. It takes, you know, what people go, wow, that was a fun video. It's like, well, you didn't see the hours and hours and hours that were spent thinking about these lyrics, thinking about what type of song we wanted to do, mapping out all the locations, filming at all the locations, you know, just so many things went into making this Welcome to Nashville 3. And it's because we care about the type of quality of content we put out. And we wanted this one to involve more people, because the last two we just kind of went out on our own and did our own thing. But we felt like if we involve more of Nashville and the people who love what we do, it's going to be beneficial to us, and it's going to fill us up far more than just doing this on our own wood.
Yeah. And on, I think the tail end of the whole, you know, production of the music video is usually Austin puts together a list of all the locations we have to go to. And I think it was like, so how many places do we have to go to? Like 50. And he was like, well, I think it's closer to like over 100. And it's incredibly daunting, because basically we spend about 3 or 4 days, you know, 10 hour days of driving to these different locations, jumping out of the car with like 2 or 3 people. Sean gets a quick drone shot. We have somebody film us at like 4 or 5 different places. And it's just very intense. And then we have to edit it. And it's just like, it is a lot.
And this one in particular was unique, because the last 2 days, which were our last massive days of filming, I went to, my wife was pregnant, and we went into the doctor, and our baby was due in about a month. And she, you know, kind of did the exam and said, your baby's coming this week. And she didn't know when. It could have came that day. It could have came whatever. And I immediately was like, oh my goodness, please wait. So we went the next 2 days knowing that at any moment, essentially, you know, my wife could go into labor. And the night we finished, she went into labor that night, and I went into the hospital. So
the baby was actually just waiting for
Lily
us to
waited.
Finish,
I told her, Lily, wait.
He's whispering like, don't just wait.
Yep.
Well, awesome. Yeah. I love that video. And like you said, you know, you want your videos to be better than the last. That one definitely tops it. I'll make sure to share that out to my listeners too, once we start promoting this. So, well, let's go way back, guys. Tell me about how you guys actually got started, how you guys met.
Yeah, let's go way back to
Colin, go way back to like when you were a child.
Back to
yeah.
Let's start. So I was born Colin Alexander Cooper in February 2nd, 1992. Now, basically, we both grew up in Cincinnati, And, you know, back in the day, back in high school, I was making a lot of instrumentals and beats because I was very musical and I was just kind of the creative kid at school. I was always making videos. I was kind of the weird kid that was just, you know, always making stuff. And people were like, why is he making these weird videos? And I was posting them on Facebook. I was, you know, posting my beats and everything because I just wanted to get them out to the world. And somehow these instrumentals that I were making caught the wind of Austin Beaver, who went to a different school.
I had ties to that school that Colin went to because I went there for a year or two, but we weren't at the same school at the time. But I kept seeing the things that he would put out. And I did an array of things, right? I ran cross country. I did, you know, musical theater. I did like a gambit of different things. But when I saw what he could do, I just was like, man, this kid is so talented comparatively to anyone else I've seen and so creative. And for somebody who likes to, you know, sing and write lyrics and make music, but doesn't have any musical capabilities, I'm like, well, maybe we could team up and create something. So I messaged him semi just creepily and was like, yo, dude, nice beats. Would you want to make a song one time? And I think Colin had a ton of requests for random people doing this, but for some reason he actually said yes to me. So I told him to remix Michael Jackson's Beat It into some sort of song.
And I think it was Billie Jean.
Oh, Billie Jean. Billie Jean. And he responded right with a just killer jam, right? It was some rendition of it. And I immediately started writing lyrics. And we decided to write a song about how we both drove minivans in high school. And it was called Minivan Jam. And I'll just say the words to the chorus. 'Cause if you're rolling in the hood, no doubt you're going to see me, 'cause it fits 10 people and it's got a TV, got the 30-inch rims with dual sliding doors. We make stops at all your
favorite grocery stores.
All right. So that was the chorus to the hit song Minivan Jam, which was our first ever song. We posted it on Facebook and I think it had 13 comments before likes were there.
It's a huge hit. Amongst our high school communities. And I think after that, we were like, we have created some magic here. So we continued making music and we kept releasing music videos that were making in my basement because I had green paper pasted onto my walls in the basement and we made green screen videos. That were, you know, at the time were very, very technologically advanced, but
they may live on a private YouTube at this point because we've thankfully watched them and realized how slightly, I don't know, would you say embarrassing?
Yeah, I think what the kids would say is hashtag cringe, potentially.
Yeah.
That didn't stop us from, you know, creating music and, you know, we created an album. And I know
what one of the catalyst moments that's really relatable to the Welcome to Nashville's is when we basically decided to, in Cincinnati, we essentially did what we did with Welcome to Nashville in Cincinnati, during like our high school years. We took Katy Perry's California Girls song.
California Girls.
Yeah. So you get the song. So she writes that song. I said, what if we did Cincinnati Girls? So we took every line and turned it into a Cincinnati style of song. I remember recording it. I remember it was cold outside, Colin. I think your parents were gone on a trip and we spent like 2 days recording it. And then we posted it on YouTube with just a weird thumbnail of Katy Perry driving a Corvette. You could actually still find this one out there. And it says, you know, Cincinnati Girls by the 5-1 Dream, which was our playoff, the 513, the area code for Cincinnati.
That was our band name.
Yeah. And this thing went as, I guess, quote unquote, as viral as you could in the early stages of YouTube without a video, you know, just an audio track on there. 'Cause I think it got like 20,000 plays the first night and then like 80,000 in the first 3 days.
It got up to 80,000 on YouTube, which was crazy. And, and I think the next part of the story is I was sitting at work and I think I got a call from one of my buddies that was like, did I just hear your song Cincinnati Girls on the radio? And I was like, what?
Yeah. So the radio started playing it. Then they called us. We had to go in, do interviews. They played it for Katy Perry when they had her on, which we still can't find that audio. We got sent that audio. We can't find it.
Yeah, and she may have been slightly unimpressed.
Yeah. But I think she said something like slightly weird. Like,
she was like, oh, that's
I think
cute.
She said, have them tweet at me. And it's like, okay, well,
and then we tweeted and ghosted us. So thanks. If you hear this, Katy Perry, thanks a lot.
Yeah, we just spent our whole lives trying to get back to Katy Perry and tell her how frustrated we are. But anyway, so that was our first taste of going, okay, you take something that is super relatable, something that you know a lot about, and you put it in a context of a song and then make it as niche, each line as niche and relatable as you can. And what you'll find is that most people, if they even relate to one single line in the song, they compulsively want to share it with the people around them and talk about it.
So in Cincinnati, a lot of those relatable things were like Skyline Chili, if you're familiar with that, Kings Island, the theme park there, the Cincinnati Reds, all sorts of stuff like that. And I think it caught on with people. So, but I guess from there, we just kept making music and then had some success. And, you know, we're on the radio, we played on TV, and we were like, wow, we've made it. This is, this is it. Like, we are basically famous. And
We really had that. We really caught the famous bug back. We played on the news in the morning at like 8 a.m. and had like, we thought it was crazy. We had these like five girls that were like groupies who made signs, which looking back now, it's very shocking to think about that this actually happened. But we thought we were on our track to just fame and fortune. And I think we've definitely matured a lot in our lives and have a different perspective of what it means to be successful and what, but back then, man, those were the days.
Yeah.
Battle of the bands. I mean,
it was special. I like to think that I peaked at that point, but I just from that point, we moved down to Nashville. I think down in 2009 for Austin and 2010 for me. I went to Belmont. Austin went to Lipscomb. And I think the first or second week of me coming to school, we were like performing in a songwriters competition or something.
Yeah.
Which was also just crazy because I think Austin went with Thomas Rhett to that thing or something. Or
well, he was in my fraternity. He's the one who kind of like pledged me when I was in our like fraternity at Lipscomb. And so we barely recollect this, but I believe I did go with Thomas to that, and he watched us bomb our first song ever at Belmont.
It was really interesting because I was a songwriting major, and they had like a songwriter's like freshman showcase or something. And for whatever reason, I got picked, probably because it was completely different than these like kids playing piano and guitar. And then there was me and Austin with like beats and hip hop and whatever we were at that point. And I would say that our performance in front of, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of kids at my school was less than ideal because the track was not synced up with our vocals, and it was kind of a train wreck to an extent. But it was kind of a rude awakening when we came to Nashville, because it was like, we are not just a big fish in a small pond, you know, in Cincinnati like we were back then. We are in Nashville where everybody makes music, and I feel like we kind of got swallowed up by that a little bit.
Are we talking too much?
Yeah. No, you're good. Okay. You're good. I want to hear.
We usually don't go this.
Yeah.
In depth,
nobody's heard these stories. These are only close.
Well, I'm just making a list in my mind of all these videos and songs that I got to try to find somewhere and go down a rabbit hole.
Might have to send you a secret link or something.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. I think I read somewhere you guys started out, or one of you started out doing like wedding videography and photography.
So I was a health and physical education teacher. I was going to be a PE teacher, right? I've got my license, to teach kids how to do yoga and play golf. But, we basically graduated and, you know, Colin and I had a conversation, and we said, you know, what would I think there's a, I'd had multiple conversations with people at school and doing different things. And I'm like, I think, Colin, with our skill sets, we could make videos and actually, you know, make a living doing this. And Colin was like, I mean, yeah, I guess. And so we thought about it, and we said, okay, we're going to give ourselves 3 months after we graduate and see if we can make this video thing work. And we had a buddy that I went to school with who, and this is kind of comical back in the day, because I think it was like the greatest business decision we ever made and the worst at the same time. A buddy of ours who was like an investment major, right, or a finance major, he gave us a $5,000 loan at, I think, a 33% interest rate. Yeah, he was a good shark back in the day.
Yeah.
But we took that $5,000 and we bought a bunch of camera equipment, and I said, let's shadow somebody who's doing a wedding. The person I was helping teach, they had somebody who was getting married. I said, who's the videographer? We got his name, and we went with him to the wedding, and basically Well, he was so nice. He shouted us. His name's Brandon Netz.
Mm-hmm.
Netz. And he's a great person in Nashville too. And he showed us kind of what he did, and we made our own wedding video for this couple, and he made his wedding video that he was hired to do. So we just said, we're going to make our own video, our own style, our own version. And what was pretty cool is that, I mean, they obviously loved the video that he did, but when we showed them what we did, they were like, oh, we have to get a copy of that, right? Like, we have to have that, because we just kind of did it with a different style. There's a lot of dancing in the reception, and we had like a dance booth and stuff like that. And so that kind of was our first portfolio piece that we were able to share in the wedding industry. And so we started our first wedding for like $200. Then we did the next one for $500, and probably the next four for $500, and then $750, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500, and finally worked, you know, because what you start realizing as you start a business is, I think one of our quotes originally when we were in high school was like, we could do every video for $500, man. We're good at editing. We could do that. But then when you realize you're trying to start a business, you realize like how much work goes into it. And so, man, that was a process. I didn't even know how to edit. We would edit these weddings where I would look over Colin's shoulder and try and give him pointers. And eventually Colin's like, hey, Austin,
I can't do this.
I can't do this anymore. These three buttons, cut a clip, and this is how you drag one and move it. And like from that moment on, I became able to edit videos. And so that was kind of the first industry that began our kind of sustainability to make it actually like a viable business. But the video that actually really kind of took off our video business was this interesting. Swiftwick is a local company that makes pretty amazing socks, athletic socks. And we approached them and said, hey, can we make a promo video for you guys? And then maybe you'll pay us if you like it. Long story short, we went on like a 2-week journey of making the greatest athletic sock video ever. And we went back to them and they loved it, but they wouldn't pay us for it.
But it ended up becoming a great piece for us that we've, I think people still watch today. I don't know. It was just one of the best videos we could have possibly made at that time. I mean, it was just,
I like to think that God helped us make that video, because we didn't plan a single shot, but every place we stumbled upon, we were trying to kind of, you know, show an array of athletic things that people were doing. Every place we showed up with, somebody did something amazing that we could put into this like inspirational, you know, motivational sock video, which that one we can send you, or it's on YouTube. And I think you'll like it, because Colin wrote or did the original soundtrack to it. And I wrote and said the voiceover that goes alongside it, and we acted in it. I mean, it's like we did every single part of that video.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good segue to Mac and Cheese Media. I mean, obviously from what you guys are saying, you know, that came about organically. And, you know, tell me a little bit more about all the things you guys are doing with, you know, along with Sean, and I know you guys have other team members, but tell me what you guys are doing with Mac and Cheese Media.
We originally created Welcome to Nashville as a promotional piece for That's Classic Media. And the reason we made it is because we thought people might gravitate towards it and it would get the word out that we did videos. So if you go back to Welcome to Nashville 1 on YouTube, the ending says we make videos for Nashville, thatsclassicmedia.com. Okay. So originally it was just a promo piece. What it did was spawn a much larger ordeal that now we have the personality brand alongside it. But essentially, we wanted to show people that we can create videos that are different than your typical videos that people create. And with that kind of premise, as That's Classic Media moved along and the Welcome to Nashville's kind of helped our or spawned our personality brand, we had worked with Sean in the past and we knew his skill set in the marketing side of things and the graphic design of things and the strategy behind launching brands, because he had done that in the past. And so we connected with him about helping us out with the Austin and Colin brand. But what that did is we realized it was a missing piece to this puzzle. We have all these creative videos we can create. We have this unique musical perspective that nobody can bring. I mean, they can, but a lot of people don't. Like, it's a unique perspective that we bring, having the skill set to create music alongside our videos. And then when we paired with Sean, it provided that strategy and structure. And so we had a client approach us about doing a musical video for their brand. And we had Sean right there, who we were just kind of contracting with, helping us out. And it made sense for us all to pitch together. We'll pitch the video, but the video is worth nothing if you use it poorly as a business. And that's where Sean came in to make sure that this creative video we've created was put in the right place. We pitched together. We got the deal, And from that moment on, it just made sense for everyone we pitched with to do it together, which then we had a conversation, said, maybe we should make this a business together, right? So we, you know, had a long brainstorming process about our name. I think we all ended up deciding, you know, Colin pushed us that day to make sure we had to have a name by the end of the day. Our initials together, it's Matthew, right? Alexander, and I'm Connor. And so we said Mac. Colin said Mac and Cheese. And I was like, Mac and Cheese Media. And then we all looked at each other and we were like, yeah, eh. That's not bad. And we was like, yeah, that's not bad. I'm like, I'm starting to like this because I love the idea of throwing whimsical alongside a professional and just kind of piquing people's attention. Sean looked at us and was like, normally he's like, eh. And then he's like, well, maybe. And then we all kind of came around to it and we're like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And the name kind of catches your eye because when you have to choose between, like, you know, Nashville Video Production and Mac and Cheese Media, it's kind of, you kind of get intrigued by the name and you're like, what do they do that gives them that kind of name?
Right. And so we've really been on a path to, you know, we have a, you know, an array of just people who, you know, call us for normal video work. But we really have been trying to move leaps and bounds in attracting clients who want something that they feel like they can't just get from, you know, your cousin Alex, who's really good with a camera, right? They want something that is completely kind of outside the box that intrigues people in a way that they haven't seen before. And we like to think that one of our biggest, you know, talents and skill sets is brainstorming and coming up with video ideas and campaigns that really bring something to life in a different way. And so we've been on a trek to kind of be solely that. And right now we're really, you know, dabbling in leaning heavily into the musical video production for brands and humorous production for brands.
Yeah. And fortunately we've had people that have really believed in that vision. With USCCU, US Community Credit Union was one of the first people that kind of believed in that musical marketing that we do. And we kind of did a full blown campaign where we made a song for them that was running on TV, and we had some billboard ads, and that was a blast.
There was a time, and I think you would have just moved here, that we were on like 50 billboards in town. I mean, like almost everywhere, with two sumo outfits on, Colin and I, and it just said like "A" on the billboard, and like we were all over town. I mean, there was one above Zany's on all the highways. Like people would call us and be like, "Did I just see you in a fat suit?"
I went on a date with a girl from Bumble, and she said, first off, on my way here, I just saw your board that said A on it, and you have to explain why. And I was like, I can't really explain.
Yeah. But so that was an amazing experience. And we've done musical type of videos for several different brands, and it's kind of cool to see that grow, right? Because we'll get a email that's like, hey, we want to do something special this year. We want to do something really cool and creative. Like people are starting to understand the kind of like lifeblood of our company and why you should call us, you know? And we really want to just attract those people who want to kind of live a vicarious business life, because guess what? Life shouldn't just be fun in your personal life. You can have fun in business too. And people are attracted to that. You know, people are attracted to joyful videos and things that make you smile. And you add music to that, especially a catchy tune that gets stuck in your head afterwards, and you got yourself a killer campaign.
Yeah. So, you know, you guys in your videos, specifically, you know, the Welcome to Nashville videos, you have a ton of other ones out there. I think I watched the traffic one you have out, things people don't say in traffic, or you guys poke fun at murals, the scooters, drivers, East Nashville. Have you guys been down to Spring Hill by chance?
Close. So we know somebody that lives there, and there was a chiropractor that was actually one of our first clients. He has a practice in Berry Farms, which I know isn't 100% Spring Hill, but I know it's right down the street from there. And we have some people, I've heard a lot of people that are moving to Spring Hill. So yeah. I'm interested in it. I haven't been there in a while just because it's not close to where I live. But
well, if you guys ever get down here, I can give you the tour of our dentists and car washes, because that's what we have. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Spring Hill, we're divided into two counties, Williamson and Murray County. Murray is the what they call the seedy side of Spring Hill. Right. So,
yeah, like if you live in that, like you have a you're zoned for totally different schools, I'm assuming.
And
how are the Murray County schools?
How would you expect okay. them? I guess is the easy way to say that.
So we're talking if there were two houses and the county line or that split the houses, one would be like $100,000 more even if it was the same house.
Exactly.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah, and some people drive, you know, the extra mile to go to the Kroger that's on the, you know, the Williamson side.
Right.
Instead of the CD side. So
people love them some Williamson County schools.
I'm not going to say that's the reason we moved down here, but partly it is.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. So I almost canceled on you because I figured you guys were Cincinnati Bengals fans. I was at the game. I think one of you guys were, or you guys were
both of us.
Yeah. Oh man. They are facing KC. So I think I'm going to have to get behind the Bengals.
I love that. The Titans and the Bengals have a lot in common in the way that we've had to emotionally develop over the past years. And so I think there is kind of this like, you know, mutual respect of like, hey, we've all been through the worst, right, together. And like, if somebody's to win, let it be the team who knows what it's like to suck so bad.
Yeah. I was going to say at the game, like, I think I was expecting worse, but to be honest, like, there was a few outliers that were kind of disrespectful to us when we were standing there. But, at the end of the game, you know, one of the gentlemen said, y'all played real well and good luck to y'all in the Super Bowl. And we were like, wow, that was really nice.
The most offensive fan was the guy with the Skyline Chili Sucks poster.
Oh, yeah.
It does not suck. It's actually one of the most glorious. Like,
that is a low blow. I don't care what you say. Do not disrespect Skyline Chili.
Do not disrespect our chili. Have you ever had Skyline Chili?
I have not.
Okay, well, missing out on life.
If you like noodles and chili and cheese.
You don't even have to like noodles. You can like nice mini hot dogs with onions and mustard spread with some chili in a heaping load of cheese. A heaping load of thinly grated sharp cheddar cheese. Give me that.
I'll have to check that out then. Yeah.
I don't know if that, yeah.
We'll send some
they're actually starting one in Spring Hill. I think it's in the Murray County side.
Probably. Well, yeah. Really quick, what do you guys do when you're not working? I know Austin, you just had a new baby, right?
Yep, I do. She's amazing. Her name is Lily B, and she's a rock star. And so, yeah, I'm really learning in this season how to, you know, kind of set boundaries and be disciplined about what I want to do in the world. And so, this is a unique season for me because I'm actually going to be helping assistant coach a high school soccer team in town. I've got the new baby, you know, we've got this business, and then, you know, personally, you know, working on my health and spiritual development is important to me too. So there's really not much time in the day when it boils down to it, unless you make time for what you want to do. So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to, trying to get some structure in this next season so I can be the best version of myself. But, I love the Nashville soccer team. I'm a season ticket holder. I've got front row seats in the new stadium this year that I'm stoked about. I love connecting with people, and this type of thing, just chatting with you and like being able to share our stories and connect with people, may be my favorite part about running our business. That's me, Colin.
What do I do in my spare time? Let's see. I love making music, and I would say I still just about every day spend about two or three hours making music. That's always a priority in my life. I would say I'm on a constant battle to be the best person that I can be. Currently fighting the seasonal depression that comes when it gets cold like this all the time. And so that includes staying in the gym as much as I can, being around people as much as I can and just being positive. And actually, you know what? Currently overcoming a Giardia infection in my stomach that I never, you know, I've had stomach problems for about the past 5 years, and I finally got some answers. And it turns out I had a parasite the whole time. So you know what? For the people listening right now, don't get Giardia infections because it's not fun.
I do think before, you know, one thing I'll say about both of us, right? You heard that just straightforward, honest response that Colin gives is that people see our videos and, you know, hopefully they enjoy them because that's the goal of them. But man, like a lot of stuff that happens within the four walls of the studio and workspace that we're in is a lot of personal, you know, emotional, spiritual growth and development and conversations that we have because life is hard. I don't care what you do. And the more vulnerable and open we can be with each other about stuff, the more healing we can have from it. Because we see too many people in these industries try and put on a facade that, you know, oh, we're killing it. Like, yo, like we just got another gig or a client or a job or a video that has all these views. And at the end of the day, none of those people are void of the same problems that we all have. So why don't we just talk about them openly? So whether it's, you know, Colin with seasonal depression, talking about it and us giving him community here, or me struggling with something, you know, at home, or, you know, Sean on his journey, which is an amazing story. You should have Sean on a separate podcast. And I truly mean that. He's got a story unlike any other that I know. And it's a story of, you know, basically hitting, you know, multiple rock bottoms and finding a way to be one of the greatest leaders I know, but only by the grace of God. And it's an amazing story. So we talk about everything here. And I just want people to make sure they know that, you know, when people say, oh man, I wish they just have so much fun. And the answer to that is yes, we do. But it's only fun because we're able to know deeply who each other are and have that community.
Well, guys, I appreciate this. It's been awesome having you on. You know, like I mentioned on the onset, I've been following you guys for quite a few years. For listeners who don't know who you guys are, how can they find you on the interwebs?
Well, you can go to YouTube and search Austin and Colin. A lot of our stuff is on Facebook as well.
And Instagram.
And Instagram. Our Instagram tag is @AustinandColin.
_
Because long story short, there are two kids that live in like Dallas, Texas that have have the actual Austin and Colin account without the underscore. And we tried contacting them and they will not give us the account.
I had to contact their like older brother and like he would not tell them to give it to us. And it was like a prank. It was like a prank that they made the account. They have like one photo of them like in a fort in their room. And we're going to drive there eventually and find them and force them to give us the handle. But that's... That'll be a later date. That'll be on our trip to talk to Katy Perry. Yeah, there you go.
Well, awesome. And then you guys are on Instagram and social media, Mac and Cheese Media and macandcheesemedia.com.
That is correct. And it's Mac N, the letter N.
Mac Cheese, N, yes.
Cheese Media, because sometimes people say, is it and? It's just the N.
Well, there you go. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, thank you for listening. If you'd like to get a hold of me, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me directly at 99%localpod@gmail.com. Or you can actually drop by the contact page on the website and send a voice message that may appear in a future episode. You can find the website at 99%localpod.com. While you're there, make sure you catch up on all of those past episodes that you might have missed. If you'd like to support the show, you can do it in a few different ways. Please follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at 99% Local Pod. Leave a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And the best thing you can possibly do is share the podcast with your friends who might want to check it out. Lastly, consider contributing to the podcast on a one-time or ongoing basis. All contributions that I receive, 10% of that goes to the Well Outreach Food Pantry in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Well, until next week, stay safe and be kind to those around you.